Imagine there is a bank that credits your account, each morning with $86,400. It carries over no balance from day to day, and every evening it deletes whatever part of the balance we failed to use during the day. What would we do? We would draw out every cent, I'm sure. Each of us has such a bank. Its name is time. Every morning, if the Lord wills, we are credited 86,400 seconds. Every night, it writes off as lost. Whatever of this we have failed to invest to a good purpose. It carries over no balance. It allows no overdraft. Each day, it opens a new account for us. Each night, it burns the remains of the day. If we fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is ours. There's no going back. There's no drawing against the tomorrow. We must live in the present on today's deposits. The title of the message this morning is Stewards of God's Time. As I get older, it feels like there are less hours in a day than when I was younger. And I know that's not true. A day passes so quickly, and sometimes I want to just freeze time for a little. You know, time can be an enemy or it can be our friend. And unfortunately, many frustrated people seem to always fight the clock habitually as a way of life. They may stay up late, then they sleep as late as they can, and then rush frantically to work, gulping down an unhealthy breakfast in the car while applying their makeup or shaving at the stoplight while talking on their cell phone at the same time. Have you ever seen that? Just a mad race of life. I hope that's not us. I wish for all of us to learn from the life of Jesus. As I think about Jesus' life, I don't know that we have any signs that he was ever in a hurry. Although he was doing the most important work in history, redeeming the world, and although he knew he only had a few years to do it, he was never in a hurry that I know of. He took time to consider the flowers and the birds of the air. He had time to put his hands on the little children and bless them. He had time for each need in front of him. God exists in a realm that is not bound by time or space. He doesn't wear a watch or pull out his phone to make sure he is on time. He is the creator of time, and much greater than time. I would like to read some verses from Psalm 90. You may turn there with me. And I think I'll just go ahead and read this whole psalm. Psalm 90 in verse 1 says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return ye, children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. And as a watch in the night, thou carriest them as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. There are a number of things I want us to notice in this psalm. Number one is we serve a God who is eternal and faithful through all ages and for all generations. And that stands out as a faith booster and comfort for me. We see this in verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. In verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth. So before he created everything and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Just a beautiful thought. We are finite and think in terms of time and seasons. God is not bound by time in any way. He always was and always will be God, lives forever, unchanging, like we sang about. And I believe it's so important that we understand and believe in this aspect of God. The everlasting God, the creator of time, gave each one of us this wonderful gift of time, of life. And it's a short period, which I'd like to look at next. Number two, another thing I noticed from this psalm is our time is brief. In this psalm, we see numerous emblems of the brevity of life. Verse 4, it tells how God sees time, or views time, how it is to him. 1,000 years are just like as yesterday. Also, it says that life is like a watch in the night. It's that short. If I understand correctly, the Jews recognized three night watches, which were a few hours long. So it's described as one of those watches. It comes and it goes, just like that. In verse 5, he mentions that life is like sleep. It quickly passes. You know, sometimes we fall asleep and we wake up and we hardly are aware that we even slept. It's how life is in some ways. It comes, and just like that, it's gone. In verse 6, we have the example of grass. In the morning, it flourishes with the dew. By night, it's cut down and withering. And the Apostle James refers to life as a vapor. Again, something that appears for a little and then vanishes away. And these emblems help us put time or life into perspective. Verse 3 talks about death. Our lives are bookended by birth and death. We have such little time here, but how much of it is used for God and for things of eternal value, and how much of it do we waste and hardly even think about? Number 3, how we use our time is our choice, but we will give account of how we use it. Moses, the writer of this psalm, seems to be aware of this, and he prays in verse 12 that God would teach them to number their days and apply their hearts unto wisdom. And Moses also seems to be aware of God's wrath and desires to do what it takes to escape that wrath. We have a couple verses that talk about that. Verse 7, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Verse 11, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Then he goes right into verse 12, and with this in his mind, so teach us to number our days. We are stewards. God has given each one of us the gift of time, the gift of life. How are we using it? I would like to use an acrostic for the word time and hopefully find some help in being good stewards of God's time. So I have a word for each letter, and just thinking about what these words say, it just seems so, it seems lacking, but hopefully it will help us to think about what we have in our hands and what God wants us to do with it. First one is treasure. Treasure. Have you ever numbered your days? Just happened to think about, or was, of course, meditating on this psalm, where Moses talks about teaching us to number our days. We keep track of our years and count them, at least most of us do. The fact is, every day is valuable. I think that's what Moses was thinking about. And God wants us to treasure time as a valuable thing, a valuable commodity. We take our money, and we count it. We keep track of it. We value what we have, and we would not take cash and just throw it in the trash can. Maybe we do that sometimes without thinking with how we use it. In other ways. But I think it's good for us to stop and think about the fact that God gave us seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, years of time, life. And it's a gift. It's something that He has given to us. And counting them gives the idea of treasuring them and being intentional about how we use them. As Christians, we should place a high value on life, on time. Psalm 39:4 says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Now, we can wake up and dread the day ahead of us, or we can wake up with joy that we have another gift of life. Time is something we need to treasure because it is a gift from God, and it will run out. We only are given so much. Someone once said, to realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who tried so hard but failed a grade. Think about whole year going through school and having to repeat it. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. How valuable is an hour? Ask the businessman whose flight was delayed an hour and he missed an important business deal. How valuable is 1 minute? Ask the man who had a heart attack in the restaurant and an EMT happened to be sitting at the next table and used CPR to save his life. How valuable is a second? Ask the person who barely missed a head-on collision with an oncoming car. How valuable is a millisecond? Ask the Olympic swimmer who missed qualifying by 6/10. Just something to get our minds rolling. Treasure every moment you have. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. You probably heard that quote before. But how can we treasure time? Maybe you find yourself discouraged and waking up dreading what's ahead of you. Maybe you have a hard time enjoying life because of all the pressures that life brings upon you. To be able to treasure each day that God has given us, we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. When we have a personal relationship with Jesus and see the undeserving love and goodness of God that is extended to us, we will see life from a different perspective. We will see life as a gift, as something we don't deserve. Rather than thinking we deserve better, we will see how blessed we are and think that life is not fair because we have it so much better than so many others across the world. It's in serving Christ that we find purpose for living. It's in serving Christ that we can rise to a new day and face it with joy and with gratefulness in our hearts. Stop and consider today how blessed we are to be alive. This will help us treasure each moment of today. Many come to the end of their life and wish they could live it over. Today is the day of opportunity to live today the way God wants us to. Number two is invest. And there are probably better words to use in place of invest. Where we invest our time reveals what is most important to us. There are 168 golden hours in each week. The average person will spend about 56 of those hours sleeping, about 24 hours in eating and personal hygiene, and about 50 of those hours working or traveling to work. That means there are only about 35 hours a week of maybe what we could call discretionary time left over. That's about 5 hours per day. What are we using our time for? If I were to follow you and observe you for those 5 hours, or vice versa, you following me, after about 10 days, I could tell pretty quickly what's important in your life. And you would see what's important in my life by the things I'm filling my time with. How much of our time are we devoting to serving the Lord and building relationships? We have done well at making ourselves very busy people. But I challenge us to stop and think about the impacts of our current investments with our time. Many of us have heard or even used phrases like finding more time or making time. We all have the same amount of time per day, and we can't save time, but we can invest it and choose how we will use it. Job 7 verse 1 says, "Is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling?" So Job points out that the time we are given is appointed. It's appointed to us by God. God knew when we were going to be born, and he knows when we are going to die. And our days, he says, are like the days of an hireling. When a man hires someone to come do a job for him, that hireling is there for a time. He does his work, he labors and toils, and then he's done. We are here for a short time. There are important investments that I believe God calls us to make. The question is, are we investing our time in the things of eternal value? The most important investment we'll ever make is to surrender our lives to Christ and serve him every day. And I want to put a high emphasis on that because this will make a huge difference in how we live our life every day. It's an everyday walk of discipleship, being faithful followers. Hebrews 3:15 says, "While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation." Today is the day of opportunity to surrender to Jesus and allow his blood to cleanse us from all sin and give us that new life that is possible because of his resurrection. And if we have received Jesus into our hearts, we have a responsibility. Colossians 2:6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." What does that mean? It's not good enough to accept Jesus and go on living the way we want to. If we have received Christ, we have accepted a new way of living. We live in obedience to his word and do what is pleasing to him. His heartbeat is our heartbeat. We love to do what brings him glory. And I think in our busy lifestyle, and if we really love Jesus and want to follow him, I think we will be looking for more times to sit down and read the word and spend time in prayer, not less time. And I feel like maybe it's just a threat to me that life is so busy, and sometimes it's easy to allow important things to be pushed out of our lives, and we'll talk about that more later. But if we love Christ, we love the light and hate the darkness. Tremendous investment, investing our time in loving service to the one who set us free from the bondage of sin. This affects all of our life, and we'll look at more of those things later. Turn with me to Romans 13. Here we have a wake-up call. Romans 13, verses 11 to 14. If we have been squandering our time and living for ourselves, this wake-up call is for us. Let's read these verses. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." This is a good reminder to us how life's clock is ever moving forward. Time is being spent. And the call to us is to put on the armor of light, put on Christ and faithfully serve him. Don't make provision for the flesh. Don't waste time. Another investment is our families. How much of our time are we devoting to our families? And I'm not talking about selfish living. Some would take that and say, yes, we need more vacation time. Yes, we need more time for pleasure. That's not what I'm talking about. But we need time with our families. A study of 1,500 households at the University of Michigan found mothers working outside the home spend an average of 11 minutes a day on weekdays and 30 minutes a day on weekends with the children. And that's not including mealtime. Fathers spend an average of 8 minutes a day on weekdays and 14 minutes a day on weekends in different activities with their children. These are appalling statistics. The devil is out to destroy the family unit. And he's been very successful in many ways. But he doesn't need to destroy our family unit. There is a better way. Godly marriage and raising children take time and commitment. And I believe this is one of the investments that God wants us to make. God's word has a lot to say about it. And we don't have time to read all the verses that are in Scripture, but just a few. And I'll start with our marriages. Ephesians 5. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." This verse points out that husbands need to have a sacrificial love for their wives. Is it possible to show love to them if we don't give them time and attention? Will they feel loved if we are too busy to sit and talk together, do things together, raise the children together? Many marriages have been destroyed by misplaced priorities. Backing up a few verses, verse 22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." You know, we each have a role to fill in strengthening our marriage bond. It takes time and commitment. It takes praying and seeking the Lord's face, asking for forgiveness, talking things out. But it's an investment that has eternal effects and rewards. Raising children in our homes calls for a lot of time. Psalm 127:3 says, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are gifted to us. They are placed in our homes by God, and we are responsible to teach and raise them for the Lord. Again, how can we do this unless we give them our undivided attention and show them that we care about them? Take time to listen to them and show interest in what they're excited about. Take time to compliment them and take time to discipline in love. Take time to show that you love them after you discipline them. Make family worship a priority. And these things hit home for me. That's why I'm talking about them. We live in such a busy life. We live such a busy life. And it's easy to let some of the important things to be left undone. Another important investment with our time is reaching the lost and encouraging the lonely and discouraged. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We need to understand our accountability as God's children to pass on the good news of salvation. We need to sense the urgency of the hour to help those who are struggling, help those who are seeking. And I think we could do more as a congregation. I'm open to ideas, but it just seems like there are so many who need the Lord. And what more can we be doing? A previous neighbor and friend of ours wanted my wife and I to come last week and pray for his wife who was facing depression. And it was good for us to be there for that little prayer service, even though studying to preach was very heavy on my mind. But I was blessed by being there, and it just made me aware again of how many are out there that are struggling, that are hurting, even lonely, discouraged. We need to unashamedly share Christ with others. Make it a way of life. And my heart cry in our busy, godless society is to take time to invest in deepening our relationship with God and preparing for eternity. Take time to strengthen our marriages and meet the spiritual and emotional needs of our children. Because there is a day coming when that door of opportunity will be closed. Luke 21:34 says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged or heavy, oppressed, dull with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. It has in there. And so that day come upon you unawares. God help us. The next letter in our word time is the letter M. Maybe it's a bit of a continuation, but it's the word manage. Manage. We already mentioned that every moment is a gift from God that must be managed wisely. Turn with me to Ephesians 5. I guess we were there. And verses 15 and 16. Here the Apostle Paul uses the word redeem, which is probably a better word than manage. But it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. In the Amplified, it says it this way, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence because the days are filled with evil. And the previous verse, therefore see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil, not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people. So these verses give the idea of walking carefully while constantly looking around and making the most of every opportunity before us. I believe that is the life that God wants us to live. A life that God approves of and blesses. Too many times, maybe we spurn opportunities or perhaps do the bare minimum because we have other things we would like to do. These verses give us a picture of one who is sold out to his master, Jesus Christ. This is one who carefully chooses what he does with his time, and because of that, he has time for everything that is important in his life. This is the result of one who has a close walk with God. If we have misplaced priorities, we will fill our time with the things that we enjoy most and let the rest to fit in if we have time left over. And these things often end up being the important things. This describes a life that is living after the flesh, not the spirit. But one who redeems the time is one who says no to those things that rob him of spiritual life and vigor. And it could be many different things. It could be different things for different people. Maybe we need to put time limits on our phone usage so it doesn't interrupt or take away from our time with God. Maybe it's a hobby like hunting or fishing. These things have become a sport to many people. For many, it's not just about getting meat anymore. It's about the trophies, the best hunting and fishing gear. And I wonder how God views it all when there are many who are heading into a lost eternity, eternity without Christ, without hope. Something to think about. I think there is a place for hunting and fishing. And the sobering thing is that we have a generation growing up watching us. They see what is important to us. They're learning what excites us. They're learning how we use our time. And can we expect them to be any different than we are? There are many other areas that fall under this category of pleasure-seeking that runs so contrary to discipleship and self-denial. And I think we do well to think about the brief moment we have to live and allow God to help us use our time for His glory. We also need to say no to family time robbers. And one of those can be our phones, which I mentioned earlier. Another one is just a fast-paced lifestyle. Here are some things I found interesting that I'll read to you. A lot of people are on overload and heading for a crash. Too often, we're piled on, stretched to the limit society. We're chronically rushed, chronically late, chronically exhausted. Many of us feel like Job did when he said in Job 3:26, "I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." Overload comes when we have too much activity in our life. I think there's probably some truth to that. Fast-paced lifestyles can bring trouble. Fast-paced lifestyles that don't allow for much time together at home with our children need to be dealt with. Nobody on their deathbed ever said that I'm aware of, "I wish I'd spent more time at work." Oftentimes, the regret is, "I wish I'd spent more time with God and with my family, with my children." I'll read these verses again. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." And the next verse, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And I think it's so important that we come before God every day and ask Him to guide us. Ask Him to direct us. And I believe He will, as we are open to His Spirit's leading. Lastly, the letter E. Enjoy. And maybe it's more of the same. But I noticed this verse in Psalm 90 that we read. In verse 14, where it says, O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. I really believe God wants us to enjoy the life and time that he so graciously gives us. But I believe he gives direction in his word as to how we should live as his people. And we can either bring depression, frustration upon ourselves by how we use our time, or we can bring the joy of the Lord and rest and peace in our situations. Time is something we should be ever grateful for. We should show that we enjoy it by using our time to praise him, praise God. We should show that we enjoy it by taking time to watch the sun come up, enjoy watching it set, looking up at the night sky and take in the beauty of the stars. I can imagine God is very pleased when he looks down and sees his people taking time, making time. There I am using those phrases. To enjoy the beauty of his creation. Taking time to enjoy the presence. Take time to enjoy the presence and blessings of others in our lives, I think is also something that is very fulfilling. Enjoy the opportunity to come to church together whenever there's a service. In John 10:10, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I like that word abundantly. It means superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. Of course, this describes the spiritual life. But we are followers of Jesus, right? This is the life that God wants us to experience. What Christ offers is far better than anything else. It is not God's will that we live our days in drudgery. He wants us to wake up in the morning with purpose, with joy, with his life within us that will go forth and serve him with our best throughout the day. Well, may God help us as we evaluate how we are using the tremendous gift of time that he has given us. Let's not take it for granted. And let it slip through our fingers like sand, but rather be intentional in our choices that when Christ comes, we will hear those welcome words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. We certainly need God's help so much. So let's rely on him.